I don't know who the penman was to that hymn, but it sounded like he knew something about getting to God. Trembling we go, tearful we go, ashamed most of the time, and it is an amazing thing that Almighty God would welcome and bid a sinner come. I think before we exit down here, we're going to have a notion of who God is. Going to be a reality that He is our Father. And something of the high price that you could call God your Father. Well, if you turn back with me to Exodus 3, I thought that I would conclude and you may be glad for us to bid adieu to this passage and move on. But Lord willing, there'll be one more. And all I want to deal with tonight is Pharaoh as a type of the devil. I know in all the types that are set forth in the old economy, whether it be of Christ, of the Spirit of God, redemptive work, whatever it was, all of them come short. None of them can fully type out, perfectly type out God. In my own mind, two of the greatest types in the old economy was Joseph I don't know of one thing recorded in Scripture against him. I know he was a man of flesh. I know that he was a sinner. I know his type was limited, but he was such a grand type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then David. King David. God's been pleased to make us aware of his great sin, his lack of faith at times, his shortcomings. And I've been very, very thankful that God was pleased to reveal some of his weaknesses. If all God had ever inspired to be written about men of old was their great accomplishments, I'd have no hope. I can't come up to that. Can't live up to that standard. But I do take hope in that they were men. And the great Elijah, a man subject to like passion as we. It is an encouragement. It is no excuse. We will not use it as an excuse for loose or careless living. That would be to abuse the grace of God Almighty. We will not sin deliberately so that grace might abound. But in the end, and this is not taking away any of your responsibility to walk rightly before God and one another. In the end, when it's all said and done, God is sovereign over our sins. If He's sovereign at all, then He must be sovereign, the sovereign Lord over all things. We've been looking at verse number 10, and I quit up in the morning when I got a few verses that I want to point out to you. Wasn't able to continue on. So if we're here 20 minutes, but don't get your hopes up now. Or if we're here 40 minutes, it'll be the Lord. I don't know who of you remembered the services this evening, but I know somebody did. Some bodies did. For I found a little ease and a little subsiding of a worn out, painful body to journey here this evening. Would you bow with me as we give thanks? Gracious Father, Lord, we would not use that word lightly or carelessly. We want to call you that you are. And if we are children, it is because you are our Father. And us being able to do that and brought in such a place as a son, a daughter of God, that's too high for us to grasp, too far out beyond us. One, with Christ. More than we can comprehend, but we'll rest on Thy Word. And we'll bow before Thee, Lord Jesus, this evening to give thanks. None of us merited salvation. None of us could ever earn sonship. So unto Thee belongeth all honor, all glory, all praise. And we are indebted to Thee, Spirit of God, for Your great work in revealing Christ, making us aware of our true condition before a holy God. Thank you, great triune God. Now, Father, help us. I do not know what these need. I do not know the secret longings of their hearts. The hunger or the thirst that they might have. But I do know Thee. And I know that Thou, O God, are able to supply each and every need of the children here this evening. Give them a good hearing. But Lord, hearing is useless unless You speak to us. Do these two things for us. And just sort of empty our minds of the day, of the affairs of life, of the possibility of tomorrow, and what that might hold for us. And let us just for a little while, oh dear God, would You let us gather around the feet of Christ, take our places as learners, as disciples. And leave with a thanksgiving and praise in our heart for that You do for us. It matters not if the preacher's loud or softly spoken. It only matters that You speak to us. Would You grant us this favor and grace this evening? We pray in Christ's name and for His honor and glory. Amen. Exodus 3:10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth My people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Pharaoh stands as a type of Satan, ruling the known world at this time. He is free to bind. He is free to lead and to direct. He won't be bound until Calvary. And through the weakness of Christ's death, He bound the strong man. He no longer has the freedom to go out to deceive nations at large. He no longer had. But from every appearance, everything that is going on, one almost say that the 1,000 years gospel ministry has been completed. And he who was bound at Calvary has been set free once again to rule the world. Except in the hearts of God's children, except in the church. I know I mention often of the devastations that are taking place around the world, the acts of mothers and fathers against their own children. I didn't read the article today, but I saw where one mother decapitated her 2-year-old son, put his head in the freezer. Crimes that you just wouldn't think about. Almost unbelievable and unheard of. Natural affections gone. How could a mother do that? Under the sway and the control of Satan. I know that there are cases, mental problems in people, but there's also great demonic activity in a lot of people. And Pharaoh here is ruling in every unborn child of God. I'm not using the word unborn in the physical sense, as if they did not have life at this time. I'm using it in the sense that they have not yet been brought to God through Christ. Satan is their master. He controls. He directs. Most folk in this day would never give that an honest thought. I am my own person. Nobody tells me I am not in bondage to anybody. And yet that bondage is very evident. He who is in the habitual practice of sin is a bondslave to sin. We are sinners. I understand that. We commit sin. We fall short. But God is in the business of correcting us, of taking down the rod if He needs to, of discipline the children and bringing them so that sin, they are not the servant to sin. And every unborn child of God at this particular time in the Exodus and at this particular time in 2012, Satan is ruling in their hearts. They are, as Israel, bondslaves. Their deliverance will begin sometime after this. You might say that their deliverance was seen the night that the death angel passed over all the land. And if there was no blood on the doorpost, then the firstborn in that family was killed. If the blood was on the doorpost, then the death angel passed over. They were delivered that night. They're not across the Red Sea. They were delivered that night from death's blow. But in reality, it began 14 days earlier. Everybody go out and get a lamb. And if the household is too small, then the lamb will be sufficient for so many people. Now what if there are some Israelites that intend on getting a lamb, but they wait a day? Or they wait 7 days? I mean, they got 2 weeks. If they didn't do it when God told them, then that lamb would not be sufficient for sparing their lives. John, Jesus said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me." Two things. Hear and believe hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. If Jesus came to set the captives free, it must be that they were captive. If he came to loose the cell doors, it must be that they were behind iron bars. If he came to free them from Pharaoh's bondage, it must mean that Pharaoh was the ruling lord over them. Hebrews chapter 2. If the angel warned Joseph to take his son, Christ, let me say Mary's son, so that others might not use that against. If the angel warned Joseph to take Mary's son, and then God called his son out of Egypt, it must be indicative of the place where all the unborn children of God are in the world. And Jesus came to deliver. Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." I suppose that you are now thinking of some passages, in particularly Job, where he had to get permission from God to do anything against Job. That's true. Since Jesus came, in his death, he took from Satan the power that he had to destroy people. You're thinking the devil doesn't have that kind of power. He does. He tempts when sin is finished. It bringeth forth death. Therefore, anybody that is not delivered from the bondage of Satan will have sin continually working in them until the final stroke. It destroys them. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, he bypassed, I don't know how many angels that sinned one time following Lucifer. They will forever be in the torment of hell because Jesus did not take on himself the nature of angels, but he took on himself the seed of Abraham. Before salvation, the very children to be of God are in the bondage of Satan, in the bondage of sin, and that of our carnal nature. If God doesn't break it, we'll all stroll merrily down the path towards destruction, following our carnal nature. It'll lead you straight to hell. But if, John 8:36, the Son shall make you free, if he brought out the captive, if he defeated Pharaoh, if the blood of the crucified Lamb of God was applied to your soul and covered your sin, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Now you are free to serve God. And you have to fight. You have to fight. It will be a struggle with the new creation of God within all the days of your life. Fighting against carnal nature, wanting to be your boss. Brother David King often reminds me of meeting Brother Hubert and getting to know him, and he said to him one day, Brother Hubert, it must be nice to get to the place where you are. He said, man, I am a sinner. A giant among men, spiritually, used of God tremendously, but he knew he was a sinner. Pulled up in the motel parking lot, Rocky Mount. He was waiting out front, and he met me, and he said, oh, Brother Baird, you got to pray for me. You'd think one that got to that place would be beyond the need of other sinners praying for him, but you never do. The further you go, the greater the awareness of the sinful nature you have. and of your need of an eternal Savior. How long does God say that His mercy shall endure? Is it something like forever? If that be so, and surely it must, then that is due to the fact that we are sinners and will forever, forever be in the need of God extending mercy to us. So you will fight. You will struggle. You will at times be overcome. You will suffer defeat at times. You will know, like David, I perish one day by the hand of Saul. Faith's gone. It's not active. You're all alone. God already anointed him king by the prophet Samuel. God already told him what he's going to be, and everything God told him is gone. He's a man of flesh. We are in a body of sin. We are in continual need of fresh supplies, minute by minute, of the grace and of the mercy of God, lest we be overcome. Now in the court of Pharaoh, there were taskmasters. If you read on, you will kind of get the impression, I think, that they were Jews. And they were to use the whip if the children of Israel did not come up to the quota that he had said. And there are Jews that are taskmasters today. You can't tell them by the outward dress. They look like sheep. You can't tell them in their mannerisms. Publicly, they are decent and upright. They look like and they act like sheep. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Their only task is in service, for the devil is not omniscient, omnipresent, as is God. He can't be in all places at all times. So he has his taskmasters. And Jesus, when warning us of the narrow way and the straight gate, immediately follows that warning, beware of false prophets. Matthew 7:15. For they shall come to you in sheep's clothing. Matthew 24:24. False Christ shall arise, and false prophets, and shall show great signs. Deceiving even the elect, if it were possible. Dear ones, religious bondage is the greatest bondage there is. You're always trying to do, trying to become, do enough to be righteous. Live as best you can upon the hope that maybe in the end, God will receive you. Put it all down. Count your works and your righteousness as filthy rags. And run, flee to God. And be clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Israel was the chosen nation. It was the only nation wherein the light, they had light from God. There were some in other nations down through the history that God brought in. Rahab the harlot's one, and others. But for the most part, but too many of them in that country took for granted that because they were born as a Jew, that made them a child of God. It's not because you are a Baptist. It's not because you hold soundly to the creed that we have adopted here that has nothing to do with your salvation. Jesus comes, preaches to them, declares unto them the truth of God, tells them about their bondage, and they in His face say, "We are Abraham's seed." We trace our lineage all the way back to the very beginning of the nation of Israel, and you trying to tell us that we are in bondage? We have never been in bondage to any man. And they were in such bondage that they didn't even recognize the bondage of the Roman government that they were under. And the Assyrians, and the Babylonians, and the Medes, and the Persians, and the Grecians. They'd forgotten all about the judges when nations came in and took them captive. How say you, Jesus, that you shall make us free? We're not in bondage. The old Baptist comes out of the wilderness, girded in that hairy girdle. He said to that multitude standing there, "Don't you think within yourselves that you've got Abraham as a father?" Listen to the cry of the rich man in hell. "Father Abraham, a Jew who missed Christ, a Jew who was in the lineage of Abraham." Not because you're raised in a Christian family. These might be helps, they might be means God uses, but they're not salvation. "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, which were born not of flesh, not of blood." Our children are never going to be Christians because they were born in our family, nor the will of flesh. Our children are never going to become Christians because we will, we want, we desire, nor of the will of man. It's all of God. "And ye are of your devil, and the lust of your father the devil ye will do." And the majority of Jews in Christ's time are in hell. I know 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000. But it was a populated nation. We inherited from our father, who inherited from his father, who inherited from his father the nature of sin. And we will remain the bondservants to our nature, and to our sin unless a mighty Redeemer delivers us. Let me give you two passages and then we'll go. Psalm 89. Psalm 89:19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, probably Nathan, speaking to David, saying, I have laid help upon, our translators put in the words one that is, I have laid help upon mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David. Now that's historical. That's true. But remember Jesus on the Emmaus road to the two disciples, opening to them from the prophets and the Psalms, the things concerning himself. Every psalm, I don't care if it is speaking of David, it's speaking of one greater than David. Every psalm is pointing towards Christ. And the David here, a mighty servant, a great king, good warrior, but he's only a type of the Lord Jesus. And if God hadn't laid help upon one that is mighty, we don't have the strength, we don't have the fortitude, and we don't have the will, we don't have the power to deliver ourselves from sin. But he chose one out of the people. One last, Ephesians 2. I know I've run past my 20 minutes, haven't I? If you say, yeah, I'm going to say you were watching your clock. So you better just... Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You Gentiles, we Gentiles, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the direction of the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And in the children of disobedience, God is the one that brought us out, for verse 3, among whom also we all had our manner of living in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Why don't folk attend God's house on the Lord's day? They're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Why do we have an early service on the Lord's day? To get it over with so that we can go fulfill the lust of the flesh. You think there's a lot of Christians? They're not. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature born into the family of a rebellious group of people against God. were by nature the children of wrath. If God has not conquered you, you have not been conquered. But blessed be the Lord. Verse 4, but God. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth. When the desires of the flesh and of the mind have opportunity to express themselves, sin is the children. And the whole world lie in wickedness. I think that's 1 John 5:15. It's around verse 15. You can find it. Dear ones, only eternity will bring out the preventive grace of God that you will ever be aware of. That He has kept you from the snares of the wicked one. That He has provided mercy in the path that He is directing you. That you'll never know anything about. But you'll have eternity to learn it. For the children, sin shall not have dominion over you. We were, I hope we can use the word were, children of wrath, of rebellion, of disobedience, but God, who is rich in his mercy, hath broken the strong man's hold, and the greater than the Moses is bringing us out of Egypt into Canaan.